Yourself, everybody. I'm your host, Allison Pillow, and you can find me at finallythrivingbook.com and allisonpillow.com. Today, I'm here with a very special guest, Vanessa Lambert. Vanessa is the co-founder of Be the Wellness and founder of Starseed Collective, both of which showcase her unique flavor and ability to cultivate community by creating dynamic healing containers to facilitate groups and individuals who seek transformative change through holistic means. For the past 11 years, both companies have hosted regular online and in-person gatherings, retreats, workshops, and boutique festivals around the world, which showcase Vanessa's vast skills and contagious passion for life and compassion. Her mission is to help other heart-centered humans push through personal boundaries and fulfill their unique destiny by identifying and allowing with their soul path. And we talk about so much of that today. Today was an incredible conversation. I just recently met Vanessa, and I feel like I've known her for some time now. She's a real genuine person from my experience, and we got to connect on many levels in this interview today. She also was a gymnast. We talked about that and shared experiences as being a gymnast, some very common experiences to my surprise. Vanessa also shared her teacher, who she learned Kundalini originally from. And it's interesting because I came across this woman through my social media, through friends that were studying with her, and remembered when she passed away. And then all of a sudden, literally a week before I had this interview with Vanessa, she came across my field of awareness again. My husband sent me an article about her. And this is what we discussed today about how Vanessa puts it, the war on spirituality. There is a war on sovereignty that we're going through right now at every level. So there's I'm not a big fan of using the term war, because I think that it's not really, as we discussed today about polarity. Once you say the word war, then you are putting yourself in a position of pushing against or resisting something. And I tend to really question myself when I say things like that, because it's so static, so permanent, and like you're really committed to like fighting against it. And I'm not saying we shouldn't decide to go in certain directions. We certainly should or can do that. But I'm saying that, you know, catch yourself when you use these terms, because I did it too, and I have to do it as well. Because of what that does, what it feels like in my body is resistance. But it was sometimes it is a good way to describe what's also happening. And we do have to be aware of everything that's going on in the world so that we can, as Vanessa puts it today, be resilient enough to stand up to that and just be bold enough to be ourselves and create what we want to create, you know? So that's part of what we talk about today. It's really interesting. And it's, to me, I was just so curious about this topic, because it's so wild that, as I put it in the show today, there's just these, it seems like these takedowns of the wellness industry and the spiritual community, and they're just maybe attack would be the right word too. These attacks on our sovereignty in this way, any way that we're trying to really become our own person and liberate ourselves from any kind of restrictions that are being placed either externally or internally, any of our perception of ourselves and that kind of thing. So I wanted to share that because I thought that was really interesting that I came across that article and then met Vanessa and had no idea that this woman was her teacher. So I was really happy we got to talk about that, because I thought it was an interesting story. And so yeah, enjoy that. I wanted to give you a little background of that, and enjoy the show today. We get into other things too. And she shares her festival that she has created and is offering this year in Mexico in the spring. And you get to hear more about that too. It sounds amazing. So before we get started, I just want to remind everybody that I have a program coming up, the Finally Thriving Program. It's the second class. It starts January 23rd. So it's right around the corner, and it's perfect timing for you to start envisioning what you want to create this year. We're going to really work on our life vision for this year, and not in the secret kind of way, so to speak, like the book, The Secret. More so, we are going to dive deeper into our own personal blocks and our perceptions of ourselves that could be blocking us moving forward with these life visions. And some of the students I had this past year or last year even were blocked on their vision. They were blocked on what they could imagine themselves doing. They didn't even really have much of an idea of that. So we worked on that as well. And I find that to be a very common thing with people. I went through that myself. So this is what we do. We go through that and really liberate you on all levels, mind, body, spirit, and help you get to that place of thriving, you know, out of that survival mode, just trying to get by, reacting to your external circumstances, and getting into more of a thriving mode where you get to respond to everything. You get to choose how you'd like to live, how you'd like to be, what you'd like to experience. This is what we're going for here, but it's really imperative that you create a wellness practice or some kind of practice that brings you back home to yourself every day. So you want to create some kind of sense of inner peace, and that can be many things. And that's what I share in the class, is that meditation doesn't have to be sitting there and, you know, and just doing nothing. Sometimes, you know, many people have a hard time with that. Many people in this last class had a hard time because we have tons of thoughts that are running through our mind. And so how do we direct that energy of the mind? These are things that we do work on together in the class too. And so by the end of it, you're just going to feel so much better, so much more at peace with yourself. You're going to be able to rise to any occasion, that any challenge that comes your way in your life, and with ease and grace, basically. So this is what I really love helping people with. And we get into also some metaphysical stuff and physical stuff, how to connect with your physical body, how to take care of your physical body so that you can be a conduit for, you know, harnessing the energy that you want to use to create your life. It is very important. And so I teach you how to do all these things because I've learned this throughout the years. I've helped many clients. And so I'm very excited to be bringing this into a group and helping more people. And of course, this course is based on my book, Finally Thriving. So if you're curious about what I'm talking about, you can just go and order the book, Finally Thriving. I also have an audiobook if you prefer to listen, and you can get a start there. And if you really like what I'm talking about, if it resonates with you and you want to dive deeper, then set up a free discovery call with me, and we can get you signed up for the next class. Head over to the link on my show notes, and you can do all of what I've mentioned here. You can either order the book, buy the audiobook, or you can sign up for my class and schedule a call with me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. I appreciate it so much. And I am so excited about starting this new year off. It's going to be amazing. So another great episode with Vanessa Lambert, everybody. One other thing I will mention, and I'll mention this again at the end, just to remind you, is that her festival, the Bee Festival, is there is a discount. If you follow the link on the show notes here, you can use the discount code that I provide. The discount code is PURE, all caps, P-U-R-E. And I believe you get $500 off the total of the retreat, which is pretty good. So check it out. It sounds amazing. And she talks so much more about that in the show today and what you can experience from that. So without further ado, it is my honor and my pleasure to introduce you to Vanessa Lambert, everybody. Enjoy. Today, we have a very special guest, Vanessa Lambert. She has been a conduit for group and individual transformation for the past 30 years. As both a coach, as well as a retreat facilitator, she has offered a more holistic approach to health, fitness, spirituality, rooted in her own insatiable pursuit of the world's leading edge health modalities, whether they be modern or ancient in origin. Vanessa formed her foundation in nutrition and fitness under the personal tutelage of celebrated health pioneers Rob Wolf and Mark Sisson. Her personal interest and later her professional offerings expanded to include a wide range of soft energy movement, breathwork, and alternative healing arts, including certifications in spiritual counseling, kundalini yoga, akashic reading, reiki, and sound healing. Vanessa is the co-founder of Be The Wellness and founder of Starseed Collective, both of which showcase her unique flavor and ability to cultivate community by creating dynamic healing containers to facilitate groups and individuals who seek transformative change through holistic means. For the past 11 years, both companies have hosted regular online and in-person gatherings, retreats, workshops, and boutique festivals around the world, which showcase Vanessa's vast skills and contagious passion for life. Her mission is to help other heart-centered humans push through their personal boundaries and fulfill their unique destiny by identifying and aligning with their soul path. Vanessa, I'm so happy you're here. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. All that to say, I'm here to help.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all? Yes, I can relate. I feel the same. And you have such an extensive background, and we talked about some of the things we're going to talk about today before the show, and this is going to be so much fun. We have a lot to cover, but what I would love you to start with is just your personal background. I spoke to that in the intro, but I'd love to hear a little bit more about, you know, your journey and how you came to do what you're doing now.
Yeah, I think without going too far back, it really sort of the origin story comes in when I really started, you know, training in health and fitness and strength and conditioning. I was one of Rob Wolf, who was the third CrossFit gym owner. I was one of his first clients, and, you know, my husband and I competed on his CrossFit team. And, you know, we were kind of in the infancy of that CrossFit paleo ancestral health world. So, you know, in the early days, we were really just learning about minimum effective dose, right? Like that's what CrossFit was in its origin story, was like, what's the least amount we can do to get the most benefit? And so I think that kind of stayed with me as a mantra in a way. It's like, well, what can we do to actually move the needle? And over the years, as I kind of extended out and became, I worked for Mark Sisson, who is another kind of ancestral health pioneer. I started his first coaching program through the Primal Blueprint. And, you know, as I was kind of just running that mantra in the back of my mind, the thing I noticed was that, like, it didn't matter if you gave people the perfect diet, the perfect workout, the perfect everything, if they didn't have that kind of, you know, emotional infrastructure to support the changes and to really, you know, have that blueprint to want to move forward, it just didn't matter. And so as a health coach, as a strength and conditioning coach, is like more in that kind of physical realm, I just realized we've got to start bringing in more tools for people to work on the mindset, to work on the spirit, to work on, you know, the kind of the softer, more feminine side, I guess you could say. And that minimum effective dose, like what is the thing that people need that will move the needle for them? And so I think that's where all these different modalities really started coming in for me. It was like, well, what's the thing that I can give people that's going to give them that breakthrough, so all those other goals that they're trying to accomplish are more attainable? And so that's really where the breath work and the Kundalini and the Reiki and the, you know, all of the different modalities, it was like, what can I have in my box of tools that no matter who I encounter, I'll have some kind of helpful solution for them to move their own needle forward in their life. And so I think that's kind of like the overarching theme for me is like, all right, how can I help? Like, how can I actually give somebody something meaningful that will make a difference for them? And we're also different, you know? And I think if you are in that health and wellness world, it's inevitable that you get to the point where you're like, if we don't check the mindset, if we don't figure out the internal compass of what's navigating this person, then, you know, you only see such like certain amount of results and then you start to top out. So that's been my mission is just like, okay, well, how can we move that in a more impactful way so that people feel like they're really fulfilling on their ultimate potential?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. I'm in the same boat there with, I started out as a personal trainer. I started out at the Czech Institute and with Paul Czech and what came to many of the same conclusions. And that's where it's landed me where I'm at now, talking more about how to integrate the spiritual, the mindset around kind of what you want to create, you know, because I think that is what was missing. It was so much, there was such a lack of creativity. Even though people really meant well, it kind of, I was seeing in the health and fitness industry that it just stopped there. And then we weren't applying that, even this greater creativity into our everyday lives, you know? So yeah, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very interesting because I think that the wellness world as a whole is kind of transitioning into this, even if you're on the far end of the spectrum where you're like zero woo, you're anti woo, you can't help but still kind of just, you know, at least nod to the fact that when your mindset changes, it's easier to make changes in your physical body. And I think as a whole, we're shifting into like, okay, it really is holistic. We can't just parse out pieces of ourselves and expect that those other pieces don't matter. It's just not.
Yeah.
Most people at this point, I think, have come to that conclusion on some level.
Absolutely. We're seeing it, you know, in the medical industry too, and how that segmentation just doesn't really work for healing, you know? And I think more and more people are realizing, or even just asking the question, like there has to be more, doesn't there? Because, you know, this seems very limiting. So I love that we're talking about this today. And I just wanted to actually just segue right into the Kundalini and talk about your guru in Kundalini and how you started out with that. And you and I were talking about before the show, and can you go ahead and tell me her name again, because of course it slipped my mind. I'm going to butcher it. So
totally. Guru Jagat. Yeah.
Okay. And it's interesting because I was telling you that I saw a video. Somebody sent me an article about her, and I'd forgotten about her for about a year, because when she originally passed away, a friend of mine, there was a few friends in LA who were studying with her, and they were, you know, posting about it and how sad they were. And I didn't know who she was at the time, but I could feel in my heart, like I was like, oh, I felt connected to her somehow. And then later when my husband actually sent me this article, that was kind of, trying to ruin, in a way, kind of, I thought it was really strange, ruin her reputation. I thought, wow, what's going on here? I mean, she must have really affected people in many, many ways. If there's also people that are feeling that way towards her, that they, you know, they feel like they need to, you know, ruin her reputation in that way. So what came to me as well is like, there's this intersection now between like spirituality. For some reason, you know, spirituality has always been in this like really protective box, you know, and people may not understand it, but there's reverence for it. And what I've noticed lately is now there's some people that are starting to poo-poo it and really, you know, I don't know what's going on, but I feel like they're trying to say it's like it's fake or it's, you know, it's manipulative and all these things. And I'm like, wait, this is, you know, this whole way of this whole perception is not good for people to think, you know, and so it's more of a fear-based perception. But anyway, going back to my original question, I'd love for you to share about your experience with her and what you learned from her and those kinds of things, and maybe your thoughts on that article as well.
Yeah, you know, it's actually so interesting because I think she sort of stands for, her energy sort of stands for this whole conundrum, which is this thing of polarity on planet Earth. And what we saw in 2020 was extreme polarity, and like we'd never seen before, right? We saw people who were so on one side and people that were so on the other side. And particularly when it came to science, the medical, you know, scene, magical thinking, or anything that was outside of like the given doctrine at that time. And I think that that time was very kind of set the stage in a way for what happened with Guru Jagat, because she was someone who understood this idea of polarity. And in the Kundalini teachings, you know, we think a lot about polarity, and we think a lot about this experience on planet Earth, because everywhere you look, you see this energy of polarity. And I just made a post about this the other day, that even Newton's third law is that everything has an equal and opposite reaction, right? So yes, we even see this in physics. Like, it's not something that's really up for debate. You know, when something happens, something of equal force opposes it. Like, this is, we understand this. We understand yin and yang, right? These balancing, harmonizing forces, feminine and masculine. Like, that's just the rules of the game here on planet Earth. And so Guru Jagat spoke a lot about that. And one of the things that she said, and she really exemplified, and this really what you're speaking to exemplifies it as well, is that when you become big, you become bright, you become bold, you're going to elicit the equal and opposite reaction of those kind of dark forces, or those, you know, accusatory energy, or those who are trying to, you know, kind of pull you back down or discredit you. And I'm not saying that Guru Jagat was a perfect human, because none of us are, right?
Right.
But unfortunately, you know, her mistakes, if she had them, maybe she had a bad day. Maybe she was rude to, someone she worked with. Maybe, you know, she was a human. So like, she was carrying a huge load of several businesses. She, you know, had all international yoga studios. Like, she was doing a lot. And so I'm sure there were moments where she was not in her, you know, highest essence, but because of who she was, those things got, you know, blasted. Whereas for most of us, we might have a bad day or do something, right, and, you know, maybe have to apologize to someone after, because maybe we're out of line. So I really think that what we are seeing with Guru Jagat is like, she was a magnificent force. And with that is just the polarity. And, you know, I was lucky enough to know her and to study with her and to actually understand who she was and to be with her in her energy field. And so I feel grateful because I have a direct experience of her. And what makes me sad at this point is that, you know, all of these people that want to discredit her, they won't, you know, if someone like you reads about her and didn't have that direct experience, it's a little bit trickier to decipher what is true and what is not. On the flip side, we have over 5,000 recordings of her teaching over the years. So there's so much amazing sound current and frequency that you can tune in and decide for yourself. And I think that that's what's really cool about this age of Aquarius we're in, is that everything is available for you to see and to hear and to experience yourself. So now you get to decide. And even though you might not get to meet her in person and have like a direct interaction, you can, through this kind of quantum experience of all of the data she left here on planet Earth, decide for yourself, like, who was this person? Do I resonate with her? And are her teachings valuable in any way, shape, or form for me? And I think that that's really what we're being asked to do on a whole right now on planet Earth, is to step into our sovereignty and to decide for ourselves what we think things mean for us, what kind of effect, what kind of improvement or not they're having in our lives, and to stop listening to all of the rhetoric and instead have more direct experience and step into, you know, your own sovereignty, your own deep intuition and understanding of if something is good or bad for you. And so, yeah, it's really crazy. You know, Guru Jagat was so larger than life that when she died, and for listeners out there who aren't familiar, she died at 41 years of age from a pulmonary embolism because she had broken her ankle and she had a surgery. And so it was very like out of nowhere. We were shocked. Everyone was completely blindsided by this. And because she was so larger than life, it was like, you know, our superstar just kind of burned out in the sky. And we were like, wait, where's the sun? You know?
Right.
But the beautiful part of it is that showed us that all of us actually, it's about us. We're always going to be our own North Star. And that is actually the greatest teaching she left us in the end, was that it was always us. It was always our own personal journey. It was always our own personal sovereign experience. And that no one, no guru, no teacher, no anybody was ever going to be the real path to transformation, enlightenment, whatever you want to call it. And that you are the one you've been waiting for.
Yes, that is, I love that. And that's something I say often too, is, you know, another way to put it is you are your own role model. You know, you're the role model you've been waiting for. You've been searching for, right? And so, and I love how you put that with the polarity association, because yes, and I think that may be some of the fears people have, is making themselves bigger, brighter. Maybe they'll attract, you know, a more negative force or whatever. And, but I, you know, when I saw that, it was a surprise. I was like, oh my God, is there a takedown now of the spiritual community? Like, what's going on here? Yeah,
there is. I mean, honestly, there's a takedown of so many things that give you more sovereignty. I think there's a war on sovereignty. It's like, we want you to conform to either this side or that side. And you've got to pick a camp and you've got to be all the way in and no more neutrality. And so I think that's kind of the conundrum we're in right now. And it's so interesting that we're talking about this, because I literally just made a post on my Instagram 2 days ago about this. And you really have three options. You have, okay, if this is a polarity experience, then I am going to be as neutral as possible, as not to, you know, elicit any opposing force, right? So this is the path of the yogi, and this is a path of, you know, Buddhists. It's like neutrality. That's the place we want to live. And so we don't elicit that polarity experience.
Right.
Otherwise, you can decide and honor and accept that if you do shine brighter, if you do try to have a bigger message, if you do try to, you know, be something, do something, create something, you're going to have to deal with that opposing force. And so you better be strong enough to handle it. Or three, you have to be ready to learn how to dance between the negative, the positive, and the neutral. And you have to kind of be a ninja in a sense of like, what current am I on and how do I want to interact with my life in this particular moment? And I think that this is actually, if we're to boil down what we're all doing, whether we realize it or not, is we're all trying to figure out how to navigate these three currents of positive, negative, and neutral.
Yes, absolutely. That's beautifully said. Yeah, it's interesting. It's happening in the wellness industry too. And so, yes, we're all being called to find that place of neutrality. I agree. And I think it's all about your perception, because I think about when people are in a certain place of perception where they're seeing everything as bad or good, or there's fear that's really driving that perception, then they're going to see it a completely different way than someone who's in neutrality, right? Yeah. So it's really interesting.
it's super interesting. And you know, the thing, it's a huge, huge thing for me in my teachings and my community and everything that I'm trying to impart, is that have a direct experience in the most meaningful way that you can and decide for yourself. Because maybe Kundalini yoga isn't for you. Maybe plant medicine isn't for you. Maybe whatever, breath work isn't for you. But, you know, until you can decide for yourself, all you're doing is being bounced back and forth in the polarity of everybody else's experience and jargon. So, like that, that's probably in a nutshell what Starseed Collective, what Be the Wellness, what our companies are. It's like, it's the fastest route to direct experience that we can offer you so that you can decide for yourself.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. So let's, I would love to talk more about the Be Well Festival that you have.
Yeah.
And how long have you been doing Be Festival? Okay. My friend used to have a company called Be Well, and that's why how I got that mixed up.
It's all good. Our people that we were working with on the property, they had coined it Be the Fest. So
it's had a few different
markers, so no problem.
That's great.
Yeah.
How long have you guys been doing that?
So this will be our third Bee Fest. And you know, the idea was to do one every year, but of course we had a little 2-year gap there in 20 and 21. So, we kind of skipped over those years. And so we're back. We did our one in last year in 2022 in Zion National Park. And then now we're bringing it down to Riviera Maya in Mexico.
Very cool. Very cool. Oh man. Yeah. And direct experience, like you said, is really the best way to learn how to discern between the things that are right for you and at that moment, for sure. You know, we're living in a world now where you don't, you know, you're not getting that much direct experience because you can easily watch it on your screen. You know, you can kind of get an indirect experience that way or learn about things on the internet. But what I think people are missing are the in-person personal connection of like being there, experiencing it, holding space for that. And, you know, feeling the transformation, within themselves and knowing that it does come from within, because we're taught everything's external, you know, and we have to just react to what comes to us or just be okay, you know, or not be okay, but just, accept whatever comes to us. And instead of realizing we can actually direct that energy and create more so what we'd like to come to us.
Yeah, I think it was, you know, an interesting outgrowth again of the 2020, 21 years is that we got so digitized, which was amazing because in a time where we, you know, for the most part had to be disconnected, we, you know, kind of up-leveled our technology systems and really like what we're doing right now here in Zoom. I mean, it's incredible the level of connection, but there never is going to be a replacement for real in-person experience. And I think it's actually kind of something that people need to rewire into their lives because of those, you know, those two gap years, we could call it, where we went so internal. Some people have got a little stuck there where like, I'm not going to make the effort because I could just go on Zoom or I could just see the person and like, what's the point of like getting on a flight and going and da, da, da. And all of the sudden, like, the weight of making that extra effort takes people out of the game. But I really, really think there's such a strong argument to be made for making the extra effort to go have direct experience. And, you know, my husband and I have been running wellness events all over the world for 11 years. And we always say that, you know, we've been coaches for 30 years. I've been a coach. So like, it's a, you know, a lot of coaching experience. And you can see somebody change in one weekend of direct experience what it would take you in like 5-10 years of coaching remotely. It's just like, it's crazy how quickly you can change and how quickly you can up level. And also just like, you know, the vibration, the frequency is a real thing. When you're around other people that are holding a certain imprint, a certain energy field, you just automatically sequence into that energy. Whereas we have not quite got the same adaptation through the digital format. Like, it's just not quite there. It's pretty damn good, I have to say.
Yeah.
But it's just not quite the same as being in the space, being in the same breath, being in the same sound current, being in the same experience as the other people that are there to transform with you.
Absolutely. You've been coaching for 30 years. I read that. I was reading that earlier on your bio and I was like, 30 years, how old are you? Like, you look so young.
I know. So this is crazy because I'm 44, but I got my very first coaching job when I was 9 years old. And this is kind of wild. Like, oh my goodness. I was a gymnast and I...
So was I.
Were you? Okay.
Yeah.
I could see that actually. I could see it. Yeah. And I love gymnastics. I was obsessed with gymnastics. And one of the coaches asked me if I would start coaching the younger kids that were like 5 and 6 years old. And, you know, at the time I thought like, sure, I'll do that. And I started helping out. Pretty soon they turned this class over to me and I was coaching like 2-3 days a week, 20 kids that were 5 and 6 years old. And now looking back on it, I'm like, that's pretty wild. The parents didn't like, no one ever said anything. Like, here's this other kid coaching. But I just had it handled. And I think that the point of that is that I literally is my destiny to be a teacher, to be a coach. Like I just, everywhere I turned, it just showed up. And even when I tried to kind of reject it and not go into that world, I just constantly kept being invited to be a teacher and be a coach. And so like, yeah, it's legitimately been 30 plus years now.
That is so cool. I love it. Yeah. I used to coach gymnastics too. I did that for a little while as well.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing. I love that. Yeah. It's such a beautiful sport. I say it was my first love.
Yes, absolutely. Taught me so much about the body and I, you know, brought that into my adulthood with what I did after that. But what a great discipline.
I think there's no better like for proprioception and the development of time and space is hands down the best.
Absolutely.
The best sport.
Yeah. Teaches you how to focus too. You know,
totally, and visualize and just so many things that you take into your future self.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's where I learned how to visualize and how to manifest the first time in my life, you know, through gymnastics it's amazing, but it's good. It's hard on your body though too.
It is very hard on your body. It's like there's back to that minimum effective dose, right?
Yes, exactly. Now I understand why you went into CrossFit. That makes total sense.
Yeah. It's a natural outgrowth as an adult. You're like, what do I do with this gymnastics stuff?
Like what else could, it's kind of hard to decide what physically you do after that when you retire, you know?
Because there's not a lot of, so I became a surfer too, which is another place where I think it translates really well. But it's kind of like, because it really is a very unique, I think it's a very spiritual sport. I mean, it's very like, especially when you're young and you're in those developmental years and your brain is just figuring itself out. Mm-hmm. And then you start to realize like, wow, I can do some pretty crazy things that most people can't do.
Yes.
And all of a sudden you're sort of encoded with this kind of superhuman feeling about yourself.
Yes.
And it does translate into later in life when you want to start your own business or you want to do all the things that people are like, you can't do that. That's not. And I'm like, I don't know, because I could do double backflips at some point. So
I love that you're saying that. Yeah. Cause I resonate with that so much. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. It really creates that background for you to, cause we did some amazing things. I mean, I look back on some of that and I'm like, oh my God, how did I do that? But you do have to also be very, when I say focused, like you can't be thinking about anything else when you're in the middle of a flip or something like that. You know, it's just, it really trains your brain to be with yourself in the present moment, which was where I first learned that too.
I agree. And I think it's kind of why I've chased all these other things that are very similar in a way.
Yeah.
If you could like think of, you know, your drug of choice, it's like, adrenaline and focus and all of these things, they kind of become part of your neurochemistry. And so as a gymnast, I'm sure you can relate. You start looking for other kind of fields where you can recreate that. And surfing certainly was that. And honestly, Kundalini yoga is actually that for me. You really are able to kind of bring your neurochemistry into a very similar format, and the focus and the discipline and the deep awareness and presence in yourself is another thing that I experience in Kundalini yoga. And I think it's actually one of the reasons I'm really attracted to it.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. I have another question for you. Do you feel like also, because I know I was a little bit ADHD before it was even a diagnosis, and that's part of why I was in gymnastics. It really helped me, you know, train my brain that way, get focused. But now as an adult, what I found the most challenging thing was that I wanted to do a bunch of different things. And kind of with gymnastics, you're doing that same thing. You're doing so many different things at once, and you're kind of used to doing that and overdoing it a little bit, right? Did you have that same experience too? Yeah.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, I'm actually officially diagnosed as ADHD at this point because I had a brain scan.
Congratulations.
And they're like, oh, yeah, you're a little ADHD. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of knew that.
Yeah, we knew it.
But I think you're, we knew it. But I do think you're right. It kind of formats the brain in a certain way. And you're right. It's very focused, very directed, but then, okay, that's over. Now what am I focused on and directed? It's like, it's very short stints of focus and direction. And then you shift gears, right? Okay.
Right.
From vault to bars to that. So it's like, I do think it actually has a lot to do with the way that the brain is formed and the neurochemistry and the like neural pathways. So, you know, and again, I think all of these things, if you learn to work with them and understand them, they can be another kind of superhuman benefit.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know, but like when I set my mind to something, I just can get it done, you know? And it's like, it doesn't really matter if I'm focused, it's on, and like, there's nothing that can get in my way, but it just can't take too long or I get bored.
Exactly. That's me. That's me. Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love it. I love talking to another gymnast because we get it. We get it.
It's a certain breed for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Very special human.
Yeah, totally.
So I would love to talk about the Akashic Records because that's something I've always been really curious about, but I haven't dove too deeply into. You know, I usually get into a place myself. I'm probably accessing the Akashic Records many times when I'm connecting to source and just being open to that or channeling and those kinds of things. But I'd love to hear more about, you know, how you help people with that and your experience with it as well.
Yeah, you know, I learned about the Akashic Records, I think it was probably 2007 or somewhere around there. I'm not that good with dates, so we'll say somewhere in that, that era, that epoch.
Right.
But I took a year-long internship through these teachers who studied in the Berkeley Psychic Institute method. And for those of you who aren't familiar, Berkeley Psychic Institute is kind of this incredible psychic university in Berkeley, California.
Wow.
And I'm a Northern California native, so there's always just a lot of esotericism around, a lot of spirituality, kind of counterculture stuff happening. And so when I did that year-long internship, it was literally to develop a deeper connection with my psychic skills. And, you know, the belief and the thought is that we all have that to some degree and that we can train it. We can start to train, you know, what we call the clairs, like the claircognizance and the clairvoyance and the different types of intuitive processes. And so I had first learned about the Akashic Records way back then, and I kind of started tapping into them and working with them a bit. And then really I sort of forgot about them for many years. Like I didn't really think about them. And then about 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, a friend of mine was talking about them, and I was like, oh, the Akashic Records, that's right. I kind of forget, like, what's that all about? And so I took a little refresher course from this teacher in LA. And then the Akashic Records just came on full force. And the way the feeling about the Akashic Records, or the way that you can kind of relate to it, is that it's essentially like a vault of information about your soul. So if we can kind of divorce ourselves from time being linear, the Akashic records store all the information of your soul's past, present, and future. And so everything that your soul creates is kind of encoded and embedded, almost like in a hard drive. You could think of it in that way, right? It's like this, this file vault where all of the information about your soul exists. And so you can work with the Akashic records, and you can work with kind of the spiritual beings that kind of are in that dimension, you could say, to understand a deeper part of yourself, and to also work with clients to understand a deeper part of themselves. Okay, and so there's all different ways that you can interface with it. You know, you can work with it to look up soul contracts. Are you familiar with soul contracts?
Yes.
So for those who aren't familiar, the idea of a soul contract is that before you come into your incarnation, you decide that, you know, you're going to take on certain tasks or certain lessons or certain growth experiences here when you come to planet Earth, and you contract with other beings to help you fulfill on those experiences. So for instance, like a soul contract might be with your husband or your wife your best friend, right? And they help you kind of, they engage with you in a way that elicits a certain growth in your spirit, in your soul. So you can actually go into the Akashic records and you can look up your soul contracts. You can be like, okay, what's here? What have I fulfilled on? And then you can also say like, you know, I might have written too much in this contract. I might want to rewrite it because I actually went a little too big and I don't actually want to do everything I wrote in that contract. So you can work with, you know, with the Akashic records to actually locate those contracts and even kind of re-illustrate them if you want. There's all kinds of, I mean, as far as your imagination can go, you can work with the Akashic records. I mean, you can work with it with sound current. You can work with it with understanding angel energy, understanding, you know, numerology. The way I think of it is like, it's almost like the overarching container that holds all the modalities. And so if you, you know, for instance, maybe you're a Reiki person, and so you have a lineage to Reiki where like you tune into the Reiki lineage and you channel that energy in. In the Akashic records, you could, it's almost like you have all the lineages there. And so when you're working with a client or even working with yourself, you can ask the Akashic records, okay, what's the most beneficial thing for me to pull in for this moment for me? And so you might actually have a curation of modalities that you've never even heard of, like candlelight therapy or like, you know, I've had all kinds of things come in where they're like, oh, you need to actually work with the color red, or like everything under the Akashic sun lives there. And you just kind of tune in to work with that energy field.
That's amazing. Yes. And can you also tune into other like ascended masters or guides or people who've passed that are, you know, that were really geniuses or whatever, are really good in their field? That's where it all comes. That's cool.
100%. And, you know, I work with like a council of beings. And it's a vast council. There's a lot of them, but you know, some of the people that came in were really surprising to me, like Martin Luther King Jr. I was like, really, you're on my council. Okay. But all of these soul bodies, you know, the thing is, you might hear something like that and think like, oh my gosh, this woman's crazy, like whatever. But the thing is, like, these beings and this experience is not really that far from us. It is really a very thin veil of energy that separates us from the spirit realm. And we're under this illusion that like there's, that it's like so much space, or that these things are maybe so far away. It's actually just kind of like, if you blur your eyes a little bit, you start to realize like the stuff is just right around us.
Yeah.
So yeah, certainly in the Akashic records, you can tap into all kinds of wisdom keepers.
Yeah. I got Freddie Mercury came to me a while back.
Nice. That's amazing.
Isn't that, that was really cool. He was awesome. I think it's like it's a matter of vibration too, right? Everybody says it, kind of that word gets thrown around, but really it is a thing. I mean, it's how we thin the veil a bit between those worlds, right? And as your vibration goes up, gets faster, then you're able to to connect with that, I think, so much more and easily.
I totally agree. Yeah. And that's actually why the Akashic training that I do, that's why Kundalini yoga is such a big part of it. Because exactly what you said, when you start tapping into these faster, sometimes they're bigger. Like, you have to actually kind of develop the infrastructure to hold these energy patterns.
Yes.
And then when you do your Kundalini yoga practice, you actually realize, like, oh, I needed to have this kind of strength or this kind of embodiment in order to connect with these types of beings. Because otherwise, it's like, you know, if you wanted to go on a really extreme hike, but you're out of shape, it's like, well, you're probably not going to get the peak because you're too slow. Like, you're not in that of shape. And so the Kundalini yoga for me is the part that sort of trains the energy field in order to receive these frequencies more clearly.
Absolutely. The way I think of it too is, you're like you said, training, like you train the physical body, you're training yourself to harness more of that energy and to direct it. And so if you have more density, meaning like things you haven't let go of, emotional traumas, these kinds of things that we're still hanging on to that create more density in our bodies physically too, it's going to be harder to hold that kind of light and that kind of energy in the body. And this is what I think, this is what I put together the past couple of years as channelers. They're, you know, it is it, cause I've had some experience channeling, and it can be physically challenging in the beginning because you're not used to holding that much energy. It's kind of like you're an antenna in a way, right? And then, as you get better at it, as you lighten the load, so to speak, then it becomes easier, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think you're so right. And it's just like any kind of training that we do.
You know,
we've got physical training, we've got spiritual training, and it's just really about finding the modalities that support you in being the fittest in all of those domains.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I gotta put my dog away. He is like, I don't know, he's going crazy. Hold on just one second.
He feels the energy.
He will not be still. Usually he's like very chill when I'm on an interview, and he's just like biting. He's like chewing on my hand and moving all around and stuff.
It's the intensity of the energy. Cause I mean, honestly, when we talk about these things, it pulls it into the field and the animals are really affected by it. My animals are completely affected by the Kundalini energy or the Akashic energy. It's like, they all of a sudden are like, whoa, what's going on here?
That makes sense. They are definitely feeling it. Yeah, for sure. Oh my gosh.
He needs to do some more Kundalini yoga so he can hold it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God. That makes sense too, with the Kundalini training that, cause I've done Kundalini some in my life. I haven't really been very devoted to that, but it's definitely, I've experienced it, and it's been pretty transformative and amazing each time I've done it. So I can see how that would really help with the directing the energy and holding it in the body. That makes total sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's other disciplines for sure. I've been quite a dabbler in my life. Because of being raised in Northern California, I was exposed to a lot of spiritual disciplines pretty early on. And I got certified to do Reiki when I was like 16. So these things came in really early for me. And I did psychedelics really early too, because Northern California and Rock Triangle, you know, it's just that's where all that stuff is happening. So I feel like, you know, there are other ways and lineages, as I like to say, that can take us to the same place. But Kundalini yoga for me, the reason I love it so much is that it's a daily practice that keeps me in like tip top shape. And back to that kind of minimum effective dose, right? Like, I've done a lot of plant medicine and psychedelics, and I have a very deep love and appreciation for them, but I can't do mushrooms every day, or I can't do
it takes a lot out of your body.
It's just not something that you, I know people microdose and like that's potentially a way that you can, you know, create this in your life. But for me, Kundalini was the most direct path that I saw every single day, where it put me in the tip top shape that I could be spiritually. And in fact, in 2023, my main goal and kind of the commitment I've made to myself is to actually turn up the awareness I have around my energy and to actually not even let myself slip into the negative current at all. And I know that's probably not realistic. Like sometimes you need to be in a little negative funk because it's helpful to pull something up. But in the Kundalini teachings, you really, the belief is that you actually can be so powerfully in command of your energy that you can be choosing the frequency that you exist in every single moment. And no matter what's going on, you have the power and the capacity to alchemize the situation into something positive for yourself. And so I feel like after, you know, 10 plus years of training and then now several years of teaching, I'm very aware that this is actually a possibility in my life. Like, if I start to slip into a negative current where I start noticing negative thought forms in my head, or I start noticing a pressure on my physical being, I know exactly what to do to make a complete state change in 3 minutes.
Right.
And I just am like, I refuse to actually stay in that negative current for any longer than is really appropriate.
Yeah.
And so that's why I love Kundalini yoga, is I'm like, I don't know anything else that does it that succinctly and that quickly and that like that directly.
Yeah. That I agree with that too. I feel like I've been working on the consistency of that too in my life. And it really does take consistency. And then like you're saying, you develop a greater awareness to where you're noticing so much more when those negative aspects come in and you're like, wait, even to the extent, sometimes I am like, that's not me. I know that's not me. This isn't me, you know? And so that I've even come to the next step with not attaching or judging it. It's just, okay, what is this, you know? And, sometimes it's like maybe something through a collective program that moves through and that I need to transmute or something, you know, but, and so now it's like, instead of attaching to the meaning of that, or that's, you know, criticizing myself or going into that, the depths of that negativity, I step outside of it into that place of neutrality, like you're saying, and say, okay, what is this? I get curious about it. And then I allow that to move through, you know? And so that sounds like that's what you're talking about too.
Yeah, it's very similar. And I think the only distinction I would make is that one of the things that's really interesting about Kundalini yoga is that, you know, it's slightly different in the sense that For many years, I would do that self-critique and kind of like, well, what's going on? And like you're saying, get the curiosity. At this point, to be honest, I don't even really do that anymore.
Yeah.
Because I'm just kind of like, it's an energy that is there for whatever reason. Like you said, it might be a collective program. It might be a past life. It might be whatever. Right. Is it beneficial and supportive for me and my destiny and what I'm trying to create in this lifetime on planet Earth to hang out here? And then, you know, typically if the answer is no, it's just like, okay, let's just state change. Let's just get back onto the neutral or positive current and don't even necessarily worry or care why that was in your field. Like it kind of, at some point you just start to be like, it could be all these things, but does it really matter?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
An interesting thing about the Kundalini teachings is that they're like, just decide and then direct. And I just like really appreciate that as a gymnast.
You're right.
We're like,
exactly.
Do the drill.
We're doing it. We're doing it. You got to go for it all the way. So And it's, yeah, I see what you're saying. That makes total sense, because that's kind of the next level, which is then realizing that you do have that kind of power to decide, and and then you get a choice there. And so, I'm trying to think how to word this, but I've experienced this as well. And I'm just now stepping into this. I feel like what you're talking about is like, because I forget sometimes that I have that, you know, and then I'm like, oh, that's right. I can do that. you know? And so that's where I'm at in my practice now, is that I'm realizing that, oh, I do have this in me, and I can decide, you know, like you're saying, what if I want to stay in that or accept it, or like actually say, nah, you know, I'm gonna do something different. Yeah.
You know, they always talk about Kundalini as a transportation vehicle. And so, you know, one of my teachers always says, like, you're in a location that you don't want to be in, get in your car, drive to a new location.
Exactly.
Like, you know, he's always like, do you need to sit in your car and think, well, how did I end up here? And why did I come here in the first place? And now I'm stuck at a traffic light. And oh my God, this guy's cigarette I can smell next to me. He's like, just turn on the ignition and drive away.
It's so practical.
Yeah. Just go, just leave, go to a better location.
Yes. That makes so much sense.
I love it. It's like, yeah, why am I hanging out here? How long do I need to be here?
Exactly. Exactly. I love it. I love it. Well, I do want to go full circle to your fast, the Be Fast, and ask it, are these the things that people are going to be able to experience there, and what you're going to share there as well? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Be Fast is really the marrying of kind of all of the modalities that I've collected and loved over my career. And so there's physical training, and there's, you know, there's breath work and yoga and some movement training that we'll do. And then there's also Kundalini yoga. And then there'll be like some, I'm trying to think of all the things that are on the docket right now. Oh yeah. We'll have some really fun kirtan, like, which is working with sound current. Yeah. I'm really, really big about sound current and understanding how frequency, vibration, mantra, all of these can change, like we're saying, create that state change. And so there's some really fun mantra classes we'll be doing with the guy named DJ Drez and his wife Marty.
Cool.
And he's a pretty famous DJ and yoga teacher and DJ, or sorry, and kirtan teacher. So there's just like this amalgamation of the physical, the spiritual, and then we wrap it all up with live music performances at night.
Oh, nice.
And, so it's really kind of like, that's why we call it Bee Fest. It's like a wellness retreat with a festival vibe. So we've got like all the wellness aspects, both physical and spiritual and emotional. And then we kind of have this celebratory bookend where every night we end with some really beautiful music. And
oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. DJ Drez will be performing. We've got Parangi will be our headliner. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, but just some really amazing acts. I'm actually a musician, so I'll be teaching Kundalini yoga and performing live as well. So
what do you do? What do you sing or?
Yeah. Yeah. So I actually had, you know, a little over a decade career in Los Angeles as a performance artist, a musician.
Oh, wow.
So I play guitar and sing and.
Huh.
So
it's amazing.
We'll be bringing in, it's really just like, I think of Bee Fest kind of like I think of Kundalini yoga. Like it's a way that you can come in and quickly transform in a short amount of time and actually really come out the other side as a changed individual in a really positive and beautiful, loving way. And Bee Fest is just the container for that. And so back to like what we were talking about before, it's just like, go do the things in person because it matters. It makes a difference. And if you know, if you're listening to this and there's some little pitter patter in your heart, we're meant to go to these places and have these portal experiences where we, you know, come in the door as one person and we leave as another. And Bee Fest is certainly that, it has that, you know, that power to do that.
That's amazing. Well, how do people sign up for this?
So you can go to bethewellness.com, and B is spelled like a honeybee. So it's B-E-E, the wellness. And it's just on under our events page, and it's called Bee Fest Palmaya. I'm sure we'll have links in your show notes.
Yes.
So we'll make sure that people have that. You can also come to Instagram, Be The Wellness, or Starseed Collective. And we have all the links there as well. Or you can DM, you can call, you can, you know, telepathically.
There's many different ways.
Many ways.
How did you get the name? How did you come up with the name B?
So I was walking one day and I had that famous quote from Gandhi just kind of playing in my head, be the change you wish to see in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And I just thought, I was a wellness coach at that time. And I was just thinking, you know, be the wellness you wish to see in the world, like be the actual embodiment of wellness that you wish to see around you. And so that's how Be the Wellness came. And then the honeybee part, the reason we did that was just that, like they talk about bees being capable of the impossible, right? Aerodynamically, they're not supposed to be able to fly.
Oh yeah.
But yet they just do it. And, right. And so I just love that. I was like, this is kind of like a little magical being, literally being.
Yeah. You know,
they just basically go, oh yeah, that's what everybody else believes, but we just fly. So like, I don't know, you guys figure it out.
And I love that.
Like that was kind of, you know, that was congruent with how I live my life. I'm like, oh yeah, those are the rules. Oh, okay. Anyway, I'm going to just, I'm going to buzz on out and do my thing.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
Yep. Can you relate?
I totally can. Yes. Yep. So I'm always like, what you know, surprised by people's responses or reactions towards the things that I do. They're just like, when I'm thinking to myself, you can do this too, you know, but again, people have, you know, certain experiences and blocks. And that's the whole point of the Bee Festival, is to help them move past that so that they can do all the things they want to do. Right.
Yeah. And to be with other people who are doing it. And I think this is actually the biggest thing I got from Guru Jagat, and why I loved being with her and traveling with her and training with her, is that I was in her aura. She was someone who was up to big things, doing amazing things. And I was in her community of people who, it wasn't weird to think, oh, I could quit my job and start my own company and travel around the world or write a book. It wasn't weird. It wasn't strange. Everybody was doing that. And so I feel like Bee Fest is really an example of that. Like, just go be with people who are up to cool things and just watch how your vibration and how you start thinking about what's possible for you or not. It just changes.
Yeah.
And you don't even have to work that hard. It just happens.
Ease and grace. Yeah. Mm.
Yes. Amen to that. Amen to that.
Well, thank you so much, Vanessa, for coming on the show. This has been just so much fun, and I've loved everything we've talked about. And it's so nice to meet and connect with you more so than anything else. Yeah. I feel like I've met like a
buddy.
I know, exactly. Oh my gosh. We'll have to stay in touch.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's been such a pleasure, and I'm so grateful. I really love that you're sharing all these unique messages and helping people to find their way to the thing that helps them. Right. That's what we're here to do, is just help like illuminate these paths and say, hey, maybe this will help.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a team effort.
Go team.
Go team. That's right. Well, thanks again. And I really appreciate you so much. And this has been just amazing. So I know my listeners will get so much out of this show. So thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. If you want to find out more about Bee Fest 2023, head on over to BeTheWellness.com, and you can put in the code PURE, PURE, and get $500 off your ticket to Bee Fest. It sounds like it is going to be amazing, so definitely check that out. Until next time, I'll talk to you all again soon. Take care.